You are listening to Pastor Talk.
Without application, without applied theology, systematic theology is really pointless. Mm-hmm. You know, God didn't give us his word, didn't give us these theological concepts to just sit with them in our heads. I mean, I would say that's what the Pharisees did. That's what their preferred method of studying theology was. Let's take the systematic and avoid the application.
Welcome to Pastor Talk, the podcast of Lifeway Pastors, giving you the tools and encouragement you need to shepherd your flock well. I'm your host, Marty Duren.
Hello again, everyone. Thanks for joining Pastor Talk. This is your host, Marty Duren, and I am ecstatic to welcome to the studio today, live and in person, Mary Wiley. Mary, how are you?
Ecstatic. That's a good word.
Yes. I don't use that one very often, so
well,
you should feel honored.
I do.
Mary is the marketing strategist for women's and kids here at Lifeway, and she also hosts a rather substantial podcast, no exaggeration there, called Questions Kids Ask, which is about what? I mean, like, where do boogers come from and stuff like that?
Well, we haven't answered that yet. Although...
You didn't have Barnabas Piper on for that one.
Yes, he would probably know the answer. So basically, we answer theological questions for parents to equip them at home to talk about those things with their kids. So ultimately, we're answering questions that adults ask, that I ask, mm-hmm. that our guests constantly are saying that they ask, but through the lens of trying to help them have the vocabulary mm-hmm. to talk about those things with their kids.
Okay, cool. So so when we say talking theology to kids or something like that, what is it we're actually saying?
Man, it sounds like something you do at seminary, right?
I mean, I'm envisioning, you know, like Al Mohler in front of the preschool.
Yes.
You know?
Sitting down with a picture book.
Yeah, that's right.
Yes. Well, ultimately, what I think is most important when talking theology about kids is that we ingrain it into our everyday lives. Mm-hmm. And so we're not sitting down helping them understand the doctrine of sanctification at dinner.
Mm-hmm.
Because these are things
Even though they need it at dinner sometimes.
Often in my home. Where they request something and then actually don't want that, but want grilled cheese instead.
No, that's your sanctification,
yes,
not theirs.
Yes. Dinner is definitely a moment of sanctification. So you're not going to sit down and talk about doctrinal statements. You're not going to read through the Baptist Faith and Message mm-hmm. or whatever it is that you use to guide belief systems with your kids, but you are helping them build those foundations. So those big questions that they ask, who is God? Why did Jesus have to die? Was there another way? Why did God put a tree in the garden with Adam and Eve if he knew they were going to sin? All these big questions. We're just helping them have a vocabulary to talk about those things. So we want our kids to grow up knowing and understanding the vocabulary of faith, the concepts of faith. And I want to help kids. When we say theology, it's a big fancy word to just mean what we know, what we believe about God. We want kids to know the truth about God and his word and the story of salvation that he's written. And so when we say teaching kids theology, it sounds really intimidating. But it's not at all. It is walking with kids in your everyday life, helping them understand the truth about God, the truth about his word, and the truth about the redemptive message that he's written in the history.
So why is this so important to do around dinner? I mean, shouldn't they just pay attention in children's church?
That is also a great question, Marty, and something I think a lot of parents do struggle with. Even growing up for me, I lived in a Christian home who loved the Lord, and I would see my mom sit down with her Bible. She would prepare to teach Sunday school. But these are not really conversations that we had because so often parents think, oh, the 2 hours we spend at church is enough, that the church's job is to spiritually form our kids. And I've served as a children's minister. I served with Center Kid Camps over 6 different summers. And what I realized over and over and over again as I tried to take on that mantle mm-hmm. of, okay, I have to teach kids everything they need to know. I wrote mm-hmm. children's curriculum for a while and kind of felt that same tension and realized very quickly, you can't do it. You can't do it in an hour or two. And studies are showing that kids are even the ones who are coming to church, the ones who are what we would call active participants mm-hmm. are really only coming 2 times a month.
Yeah.
Which is not so. We're talking.
Those kids just will not get out of bed and drive themselves to church.
No, why won't they just walk the mile? No, but often we do. We leave it to the church. And so there's a great need to help parents feel like they can have these conversations.
Okay, so mom and dad decide, I don't want to leave this to our children's director on Sunday morning in our, you know, their little group when they get together and discuss David and Goliath or Daniel and the lion's den. How can parents begin to move in a direction where they're not offloading their responsibility to disciple their own kids?
Yeah, well, I don't think it has to be super complicated. So often when we start thinking about it, we get overwhelmed because we're thinking of concepts like having family devotions every single night,
right,
reading whole chapters of the Bible at dinner. And I think it is just as simple as...
Johnny, we're only on verse 76. We have 100 more to go.
Yes, we're reading Psalm 119. Yes. It's going to take a while. Settle in.
Please put those beans down.
So, but I think you can. Dinner time is a great time to read stories. Bedtime, of course, is a great time. Even during bath, we have 2 2-year-olds. And so we ask those questions. Who created you? God. Who is God's son? Jesus, those simple questions to help building that foundation. Now, hear me say, church is a wonderful thing.
Sure.
And church is a great place. And I would say I owe a significant portion of my spiritual development to those people who loved me well at church. And so I think it's more a partnership in that those sheets that end up in the floorboard that your church sends home with your kids, don't let them end up on the floorboard. Continue to talk about those things. And I would even say it's important to realize that it's never too early. Again, we have 2 2-year-olds. We've been reading little board book Bibles since they were born, and they love to read. They love books. And our little boy, Caleb, would like us to start calling him David now because he loves the story of David and Goliath.
So, and so are you going to have to now get him a giant that he can slay in the backyard?
Well, any adult that he comes across, he's like, you're Goliath, I'm David, and he'll like swing his pretend slingshot and expects you to fall down immediately. So if we're ever together...
We need to get him a real slingshot.
No, that would be very dangerous. He's big enough on his own to take people down.
So talk to parents about... like basic steps.
Yeah.
So it can be intimidating if you've never done it before. And the things that you hear or you think you hear really are the, you need to have an hour's worth of, you know, quiet time every night with your family. And I know a guy who went from nothing to basically trying to preach a sermon every night and give an invitation at home and couldn't figure out why his 3 young sons weren't all that into it. So how do you, especially if you've got kids that are say in older elementary school, and maybe you've got a span, so you've got a 4-year-old, a 6-year-old, and a 9-year-old or a 10-year-old. What are some practical things parents can do to begin to work into what's an appropriate amount of time a week or times a week to try to do something? Talk into that a little bit.
Absolutely. I love to tell parents that this should be on your lips every day. And honestly, a focus on theology for your kids is going to come because you're focused on the Lord in your personal time. And so if you as a parent are in God's word, you're going to talk about what you read because it becomes more natural. Now there is a huge, it's a challenge, but also victory when you can make it fun. Guys, this is the word of God. It's alive. And these stories that we like to put on felt boards and on really pretty murals in our church, they happen. They're real. These are real people with real emotions. And I haven't met a fifth grader in my entire span of teaching kids in about 10 years in the church who didn't love the story of Ehud and like the sword getting stuck in his back. These are stories we don't necessarily tell of the sun standing still during battle,
right?
Of Moses's arms having to be held up so that the Israelites could continue to win. These are huge stories. And for boys, I mean, I've never seen boys so excited. Let's talk about battle and swords and a fat king.
I told a story in front of a group of adults a couple of months ago, and I got the time frame and the specific players crossed up.
Oh, no.
But it was the story from the Old Testament where it was a famine, and the one woman says, "Let's eat my kid today, and we'll eat your kid tomorrow," or whatever.
Yeah.
"Your kid today and my kid tomorrow." And then she reneged on the deal. And so I was telling that story, but I said it in as if it was the women who came before Solomon. And so I was in, we had a break shortly thereafter. And I mean, there were people like, "You're eating babies. What are you talking about? People eating babies in the Bible." And I'm like, "Well, yeah, it's there." So I was like, "Oh, it wasn't." So anyway, I got to straighten up the story, but there were so few people that had actually heard that story. I mean, And so now, anytime we're talking about stuff, oh, we're going to be talking about eating babies again. I know that's Marty talking. So there are an enormous amount of ways to teach theology. And when you're saying that, I'm hearing really a lot of practical theology because you can't, if you're talking about it as you're going through the house, as you're washing dishes, as you're driving down the road, it really can't be segmented to only a systematic type of approach because you're living it out as you're talking about it.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And without application, without applied theology, systematic theology is really pointless. You know, God didn't give us his word, didn't give us these theological concepts to just sit with them in our heads. I mean, I would say that's what the Pharisees did. That's what their preferred method of studying theology was. Let's take the systematic and avoid the application. We're teaching kids how to live for the Lord, how to be adults, you know? Like I say all the time, and my husband scoffs at me because ours are two, but I'm like, we are raising little tiny adults, and we have to teach them how to make decisions. And how
your
to
husband
live
scoffs
Lord.
At you for that?
He does. He kind of giggles a little bit.
I kind of like him already.
He's like, Mary, they're two. Like, I know, but in 16 years. No. But theology, I mean, and you asked about practical, how often should this happen? How much time? I mean, we've talked about this should be a consistent thing. We see that throughout Scripture. But even one time a week, like, that is a win.
You're
moving from zero to one, or from one to three, or from three to five. Is beneficial. We just want these conversations to begin, and every one of those conversations is a win.
One of the things that we did when our kids were younger and growing up was we took advantage of especially Christmas.
Absolutely.
So we didn't, you know, the tradition that I grew up in didn't do Advent per se, but every year between Thanksgiving and Christmas, we tried to use either Max Lucado or somebody who had written a book that was kind of geared toward children, or it was a series of Christmas stories. And that always proved to be really helpful. And we did it a couple of nights a week, and we would sit down and we'd read the chapter or the whichever the was going on for that particular part of the book. And they never, you know, went to sleep, and we and we didn't try to overdo it, but I felt like it was expanding the narrative of the Christmas story every single year to where it was more than just an I love Charlie Brown Christmas, but it got beyond just the framework of Charlie Brown Christmas into some of the broader aspects. So are there times of the year that lend themselves a little more to, hey, we can focus on this right now, focus on this at a different time?
Yeah, absolutely. I think you're right on with Christmas. Advent is a huge thing, which I feel like is just kind of getting legs under it within at least our faith community. Great opportunity to talk about God in the flesh. I mean, the fancy word for that is Christology. You're teaching your kid Christology through these stories of Christmas. And then, of course, Easter is a fantastic time as well. Easter is really why Christmas even matters. And so that's a great opportunity to talk with kids. But summer is also a really great point or a great time to talk about that as they are away from school in this duty of learning, and learning becomes more fun. That is something that I'm very passionate about, is that we want to make learning the Bible fun. We don't want it to feel like math homework. We don't want to discipline necessarily with Scripture, send them to time out and then say, read your Bible, this is why, or make them write sentences and repeat. I mean, the Lord can absolutely use that. I don't want to say that he can't, but we want to make God's word fun.
So
God's
making them
alive.
Write Jesus wept until they are weeping is not the best
probably
strategy.
Probably not. Although if I had to write sentences and I could choose any verse, that's the one I would choose.
That's true. So if you're a, let's take it back into the church side for just a second. What can a children's pastor do? Children's director do? Maybe we're talking about somebody who's just a volunteer. To advocate for or to help train parents. You talked about the piece of paper that comes home from Sunday morning lines up on the floorboard, and that's happened more than I'd like to admit when my kids were smaller. But what can the action, you know, what can the church leadership do to help parents and help kids in this area?
Well, for one, training, I think it starts with your children's minister and then it moves to volunteers. So a great thing to do is to help train your volunteers, because it's way easier to get volunteers to show up for a training event than parents. So you start with the volunteers, you train them how to connect with parents, how to be an advocate mm-hmm. for parents. And so that is helping those teachers connect with parents when they come pick their kids up, helping them understand where their kid left off. So they may say, hey, today we were studying David and Goliath, mm-hmm. and your kid was really interested in learning that David later became king.
Right.
Or that David was a good king and Saul was a bad king. And so helping them continue that conversation at home, giving them questions to ask even on the car ride home is so helpful, so that parents aren't saying, what'd you learn today? Jesus. You're like, okay, great. Sounds like you learned so much.
I know it's a squirrel, but I'm going to say Jesus.
Yes. So that's a start. Parenting training is a wonderful way to do that. Even so much as helping them with scenarios to say, your kid's playing basketball and he got benched. He mm-hmm. got put on the bench. How can you use that instance to point to Jesus? And we talk about, you know, how life isn't always fair. We don't mm-hmm. always feel like it's fair, but also God's not fair. God is just mm-hmm. and God is merciful, and God has given us more grace than we deserve. And so that might be a really small way mm-hmm. that in each little situation, you can help point to Jesus. Your kid falls down outside. So children's minister may say, here's a scenario. Parents, I want you to help me discover how we can help kids understand more about Jesus through this really practical event that happens really frequently in your home. And so just giving them the words mm-hmm. to help make those connections, and playing out scenarios, although it may be very uncomfortable for some, mm-hmm. tends to be the best way to retain that information.
And what's one thing that a lead pastor or senior pastor can do to empower the yeah. children's area to make some progress in this direction?
That is a great question. I think helping, even from the pulpit, mm-hmm. helping church understand that children's church or Sunday school for kids is not childcare, mm-hmm. but that there is a real teaching, real spiritual formation development happening behind those doors. And so the more he can continue to talk about the importance of what's going on behind the doors is actually going to help parents have the vision of how important it is to help continue that growth at home. And so as a pastor talks about the importance of children and how, I mean, even just Barna survey data of the majority of people who come to know Christ before 12. Guys, wow. that's in our children's ministry. Yeah. So often we say, well, when they get to youth, we'll begin to implement some discipleship strategies. Mm-hmm. But if that Barna survey is true, discipleship needs to be happening long before yeah. then. I mean, of course, among unbelievers as well, but that jumping off point. So in college, I served at CenterKid and came to work at Lifeway to do the same. So I hired a ton of college students, mm-hmm. a ton of seminary students. And we would always ask, how did you come to know the Lord? Walk me through your faith journey. And 85% of the time, they would say, I came to know the Lord at 8, 9, 10, wow. some young age in the children's right. ministry. But I didn't really understand mm-hmm. until a youth minister, a youth worker walked alongside me. What I'm hearing is we have some problems in our version of children's ministry because we're not walking alongside kids well mm-hmm. who are making decisions. We're not equipping those parents to do that at home.
And your podcast is called?
Questions Kids Ask.
And it's available at great stores everywhere. Is that
yeah,
right?
Yeah, it is. It's anywhere you listen to podcasts.
All right. And your last name is W-I-L-E-Y.
W-I-L-E-Y. That's right.
Mary Wiley. So look for her podcast, Questions Kids Ask, in your favorite podcatcher, and you'll find it there. Also, don't forget to rate and recommend Pastor Talk when you get a chance, and recommend it to your friends as well. That would be awesome. And until next time, this is Marty Duren for Pastor Talk.
Pastor Talk is the podcast of Lifeway Pastors and is hosted by Marty Duren. That's me. Join us each week as I interview pastors, authors, professors, and others to help your ministry as you seek to shepherd your flock well. Until next time, this is Marty Duren.